Join us in a world where you're listening to Ballistic Radio. Sit back as we discuss hard-won lessons from the best and brightest that the personal defense and competition shooting industry has to offer. Let us help you help yourself, no matter where you are in your personal path. Ballistic Radio, brought to you by LuckyGunner.com and Federal Premium Ammunition. They paid for this, so you don't have to. Now here's your host, John Johnston.
Welcome to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by LuckyGunner.com and Federal Premium Ammunition. They paid for this, so you don't have to. I'm your host, John Johnston. Remember, you can always listen to past shows at BallisticRadio.com and get the latest behind-the-scenes info, arguments, photos, videos, other, I don't care, Facebook.com/BallisticRadio. Hey, Joe. I got
Way
you.
Way to sell it.
Yeah. I got you. So, hey, if I can make the producer laugh, that means it was funny, right?
A way to sell it. I'm sure people will be clamoring to go over to Facebook now.
Social media. Yay. Hey, guess what?
What is that?
What it is. This segment brought to you by Lucky Gunner and Federal Premium Ammunition. Whether there was a firefight or you do, in fact, want to worry about that little guy, you need more ammo. And when it's time to restock, you can't beat Federal Premium Ammunition at LuckyGunner.com. With a shipping department that's always moving at 88 miles per hour, if I order a case of American Eagle from Lucky Gunner on a Thursday, it's at my doorstep ready to shoot before the weekend starts. Head to LuckyGunner.com today to check out their in-stock lineup of Federal Premium Ammunition. And remember, unless you're on fire or drowning, or perhaps standing underneath a coyote who's got it out for you, you can never really, he's going to drop the ammo on you, Joe. That's, never really have too much ammo. You know how my ADD is, you know how I know my ADD is bad?
How?
And also how I know that I need to trim my mustache?
Yeah.
I find myself distracted by my mustache as I'm reading that ad. And I'm like, oh, this is a bad sign. This does not bode well. Especially for having Caleb Giddings on. Hey, Caleb.
Oh, God. Good morning, John. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
So. Well, I'm barely awake. So I was about to compliment you and say you did a better job on that Lucky Gunner read than you did on your own Facebook read. But then you got to the end with the Roadrunner reference, and I was like, oh, no, we're off the rails.
Yeah, off the rails. That's well, so what people don't understand is if I were a professional, I would freshen the joke at the end before each show, if I were a professional, right? But because I'm fundamentally flawed as a human being, I do it halfway through reading the ad, and sometimes it's okay, and sometimes it's a Roadrunner joke. So, and I apologize to everyone for that.
I don't actually hate on that, because one of the things I do when I'm doing scripts for my YouTube channel, which you can follow at youtube.com/gunnutsmedia.
Nice.
Thank you. I'll do a script. I'm going to be like, all right, this is the script for the video. These are the ideas that I want to cover. And one of the comments people get is I don't always look at the camera when I'm talking. And that's because a lot of the times my script is basically three bullet points. Mm-hmm. And that has to fill like a 10-minute video. Mm-hmm. So everything that I'm saying in between the bullet points, I'm coming up with on the fly. And I have one of those visual tics where if I'm thinking and talking at the same time, I look up and away from the camera. Mm-hmm. Because I'm like, I don't know, I'm trying to look the thoughts into my brain and out of my mouth, I guess.
Yeah.
So I totally.
It's like a reload. It's just look at it real quick.
Yeah, exactly. Let's just take a quick peek at it and make sure everything's seated. Oh boy, this is going to be a fun podcast or mm-hmm. radio show.
No, podcast. It's podcast now. So.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, podcasts are better anyway.
But okay. I heard you like cracking open another energy drink. I thought I just became like incredibly jealous again, and not because of your dashing good looks, but because of your caffeine content. Ooh, that didn't sound good. That's what she
okay.
said.
Well, I wouldn't need these, but to relate a fun story to your listeners, as a little bit on my background, a lot of you guys know me from Gunnuts Media, from my YouTube channel, or blogging, or you know, being, as Scott Jedlinski described to me, the good troll of the gun internet.
Mm.
But in my abundant free time, I'm also a combat arms instructor for the Air Force, and we're ramping up right now for a deployment, which will involve me taking some time off from the gun industry. But I just got back from a heavy weapons maintenance course in El Paso, Texas, and in a bit of delightful military logic, my flight was at 11 o'clock yesterday, 11 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what time do you think the Air Force said I needed to get up to have my room inspected to go to the airport? Let's go with 2:30 in the morning, because that makes perfect sense. So, yeah, so we got up around 2:30, got our rooms inspected, and then I sat in the airport from 4 a.m. until my flight eventually left at 11, and I went to bed at 7:30 last night because, you know, military travel's great, but I'm here, I'm awake, and I am very ready to talk about some of the fun and interesting topics that we have on the show today.
Well, so you mentioned the military, and you're getting ready to deploy here very shortly, as far as I know.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
So I guess my very first question is, do you think you will recognize the face of the industry when you get back from your deployment?
You know, I do, because the last time I went away for a while for the military, you know, and I was out of communication and didn't, you know, was 2015. And when I got internet access again, when I came back, everything looked pretty much the same. And I realized that a big thing that happens in the industry is we don't really do sudden radical changes. Everything sort of happens gradually. And if you looked at the industry in 2015 and looked at it now in 2019, a lot of things would look different. But that shit didn't happen overnight. It just sort of progressively crept into things. Now, what I do think will happen is I think I'll miss a lot of the hot memes that sort of bust into the culture, and they're really funny for like 3 days, and then 6 months later, large brands are still trying to incorporate them into their marketing plans. You know, that whole Steve Buscemi meme of, hello, fellow youngsters, I too like to make neat things.
Yeah.
I assume that will still be happening. It'll just be something else. It won't be yeet cannons anymore.
I just got to... So that entire thing, I'm sitting watching this happen, and I'm like, High Point's accidentally going to make me buy one of their guns on purpose. This is interesting, and I did not foresee this. And then it's like, oh, wait, no, they're not. They're messing it up. It's like, oh, wait, it's back on. You know what I mean?
I think the best part of it, and again, for me, the most entertaining part was HK. And
yeah.
For people that don't know, HK's social media game is the best in the firearms industry. And it's the best because they take their playbook entirely from, like, real big kid industries. And they're like, okay, this is working for major brands outside the gun industry. Let's just go one for one and do that here, and it's working really well for them. So watching HK play into the yeet cannon thing was really great, and then watching all of these other brands essentially just pile on, I'm like, and now the joke's over.
Yep. Yep, pretty much. I hope they do something kind of like the Arby's social media picture ads or whatever, whenever they get around to doing the High Point HK collaboration, which is something I never thought I'd be saying, but here we are. So
yeah, I really honestly never thought those words would come out of anyone's mouth.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's 2019, and it's a strange, strange world that we live in.
Huh. It's, oh, so I'm a pretty big, Big Lebowski fan. I wish I had used a different word before the title of the movie. But anyway, and I'm trying to remember the lead in to that he's not a hero in the traditional sense, but sometimes there's a man. And I'm like, this entire thing is just incredibly appropriate for 2019. But hey, real quick, we got to go to break. When we get back, we'll actually probably not talk about anything important, but, you know, maybe we will. Who knows?
We can try.
You'll just have to stay here and find out. We're talking with Caleb Giddings. You're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by LuckyGunner.com and Federal Premium Ammunition. They paid for this, so you don't have to. This segment brought to you by Wilson Combat. Wilson Combat, makers of the finest custom 1911s and scatterguns since 1977, a legacy of quality, innovation, and service. Learn more about their firearms and accessories, as well as the new EDC X9L, the 5-inch version, which offers discriminating shooters 1911 match-grade accuracy, superior ergonomics, and concealability. With modern service pistol capacity, they've got 15 and 18-round flavors, as well as reliability, at www.wilsoncombat.com. So we're talking with Caleb Giddings and mentioning the silliness that has been 2019 and possibly making predictions for the silliness at the beginning of 2020. I don't know. What do you think, well, man? Which directions are we headed?
I mean, the big trend, obviously, that we track in the industry, that I'm tracking in the industry, is the continuing development and resources that industry players are putting behind red dot, compact red dot sights mounted on pistol slides. And, you know, we've got the new Trijicon SRO, which I think is a bad acronym, but a cool optic. And now this is, that's me saying that in a vacuum and having not actually played with it, but everybody because my problem with the RMR has always been, it's like looking through the back window of your car. You can't see anything. And yes, I know that there are lots of people doing great work with RMRs. I just like a bigger window.
Sure.
The SRO addresses that. And then you are seeing, you know, people are other brands. Like everyone is saying the HoloSun, I think it's the 507C. It's actually really good and durable, which is cool. For a more budget branded optic to be survivable.
Sure.
So if there's one thing that I think is a trend that's going to keep gaining momentum, it's going to be red dot all the things. Uh-huh. And by 2020, if a major brand, they're losing ground to everyone else who is. And I think everybody does, but HK, right? Beretta, Sig, Glock, of course. Walther's got an in-house mounting solution. Are there any other brands that matter outside of the Beretta, Sig, HK, Glock, Walther? I feel like
there's that whole brand that your dog is, you know.
Oh, Ruger, yes. Well, I was thinking of, and I didn't mean to, I don't mean to talk bad about Ruger, but I was thinking about companies that are making like service pistols that actually win police contracts.
Sure.
So, and I like Ruger. I tend to prefer their metal guns over their polymer guns, but I don't even know if they have. I'm sure that they will. I mean, shoot, even Springfield Armory has an in-house mounting solution for the XD.
Right.
So,
which tangentially, I'm probably going to be finishing up the Lucky Gunner Does This Gun Suck SIG 229 at some point or another. And there's a major part of me that just wants to take the 10 millimeter XDM with the the mounting.
Do it.
Put 10,000 rounds
Do
through
it.
That. Yeah, see. Well, it's either that or a revolver. I was thinking about that too. I'm like, because I'm not like super good with a revolver. I'm not bad with one, but it's not like I haven't spent a whole ton of time with them. And I'm like, 10,000 rounds. What could go wrong?
Depending on the revolver, kind of a lot.
Yeah, I know. That's the joke. But yeah, man. So the red dot thing seems to be super popular, and I completely agree with you. I think that's going to be sort of the trend. It would be kind of cool to see a pistol that was actually specifically designed around one versus, everybody kind of just figuring out how to get one on pistols they already have. But I don't know if that's going to happen anytime soon or not.
What's that weird gun
the,
from
the Luago? The alien, the Luago alien. And that looks really cool, too. And I really want one really bad. I don't know that I really want one really bad $5,000.
That is sort of the problem. I remember when the Arsenal Strike 2 came out, and I'm like, this is a really neat concept.
Until it didn't work.
For $700.
Yeah.
For $1,500 or whatever they were asking for it, it was not a neat concept. It was a very expensive gun that wouldn't necessarily feed.
Well, so the neat thing about the Lago from a design aspect is it's very similar in setup to a HKP7, which I've always been ridiculously fond of, well, more than I should be, especially with the issues that are attendant with that particular pistol. But they've actually put the gas system above the barrel. So the barrel is set super low, pretty much where the recoil assembly is on most guns. And that's kind of cool. And then, it's it's hammer fired internally. And the hammer, the way it's set up is, if I remember correctly, actually upside down. So like from a design standpoint, there's a lot of things going on with that gun that, I'm like, and I'm not saying that I won't get one, even though I know that that's foolish. I don't know, man. So my problem is, here's what I'm scared of with that gun specifically. I'm scared it'll be awesome and amazing. And I'll sell a bunch of stuff to be able to get a $5,000 gun, and then I'll go, well, crap, now I need a second one. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely understand that. I'm interested in it just because, like you said, it is a real engineering oddity, for lack of a better term. It's doing a lot of stuff that has, most of the stuff it's doing has been done before in one, way or another with guns, but never all in one package.
Right.
And that's very interesting to me. And I hope it works. And I hope that they're able to sell enough of them to offset the development costs to bring the price point down a little bit. Because my concern with something like that is I don't think it'll be viable in the U.S. market at that price point. When you see something like the Walther Q5 Match, the steel-framed gun, they're able to offer that gun at an affordable price point because, one, all the R&D was basically done with the Walther Q series anyways, and the up cost of building it can be offset by the fact that they've sold a jillion of their regular pistols. With a kind of a one-off gun, and that's the only thing they're making, I worry that they'll never be able to make it at a price where they're going to be able to sell more than, 25 of them or whatever number, They will sell some in the States because they're people who have a lot of money and are willing to be like, yes, give me the weird thing.
Well, and the other thing, too, is that I think the market they're going after is the same dudes that buy, like SVIs.
Right.
And whatever. So,
but I think the guys who buy the SVIs, the issue with that versus the Alien or the Ridley Scott or whatever it's called is
I'm now calling it the Ridley Scott.
Thank you. Is that there's a huge aftermarket for STI and SVI stuff. I know that if I spend, $3,000, $5,000 on a Chambers Custom 9mm or a hand-built STI gun, that if something breaks, there's 1,000 people that sell springs for it, and I can get hammers and triggers and sights and all of those goodies that you need to make a gun be viable as a competition gun. I can go order them from Brownells and they'll be at my door in 3 to 5 business days. Versus with this gun, if something breaks, do I have to like call a dude in whatever country it's in?
Czechoslovakia.
No, it's the Czech Republic. Czechoslovakia doesn't exist.
Oh, fine. You know what? Hey, you know what the nice thing is about this being my show? I can interrupt you mid-thought to play a commercial and then come right back. All right. We're talking with Caleb Giddings. You're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by LuckyGunner.com and Federal Premium Ammunition. They paid for this so you don't have to. This segment brought to you by BigTexOutdoors.com. BigTexOutdoors.com is the best place for you to find all your everyday carry needs at the absolute best prices. Maybe you need all the lumens from Surefire at the lowest price. No problem. Spend too much time alone in your room and now you need an RMR and your carry gun. BigTexOutdoors.com has those. Glock accessories, yes. Fast, cheap shipping, 100% hassle-free returns, all that and more. And best of all, BigTexOutdoors.com has Ike. He's a good man and thorough. I like Ike. Everybody likes Ike, and you'll like Ike, too. Visit BigTexOutdoors.com today and find out what happens when every customer is a friend, not just an order. So, before the break, we were discussing how important the aftermarket is and how important a robust aftermarket is for the successful launch of a pistol. And you were pointing out that my knowledge of European geography is woefully, woefully, woefully lacking. Thanks, public education.
Well, you know, it's all right. But it's funny that you mentioned the aftermarket because that is, you know, one of the other predictions I have for 2020. And I just have two more. The first one is that our mutual friend John Hotman of Filster will continue to take over the industry in fun and creative ways. Mm-hmm. And what brought that to mind was the read for Big Tex Outdoors, where currently you can go buy the ARC, which is Filster's product that really genuinely upgrades your X300 switching so that people who maybe don't have thumbs that are 7 inches long can actually reach the switches on their gun if they've got a gun like, oh, I don't know, a Beretta 92G with a rail on it.
Yeah.
Which I don't know why I used that very specific example, but in all seriousness, John Hotman of Filster is doing a really great job with creating innovative products. So I'm excited to see when I come back in 2020, what crazy thing he's built then.
Well, so what's funny is, someone may or may not be NDA'd with Filster, and someone may or may not have seen the ARC very early on during that process, and someone may or may not have incredibly short toe-like thumbs and think that the ARC's pretty darn cool. So, you know what I mean? I completely agree with you, though. John's doing really cool things, and he's got other really cool things that I think he's going to continue to do. So... No bet there. I am in 100% agreement, you know?
He showed me the ARC, a prototype of it in the white when I was over at his house several months back. And I just remember looking at it going, this is a really freaking good idea. And then I also sat there for a couple of minutes and I'm like, why am I not this smart? Like, am I, you know, you ever have that moment where you're like, you see something awesome that one of your friends made and you recognize how awesome your friend is, and it's not jealousy or anything like that. It's like you take a look inward and you go, am I dumb? Is that why I don't make things? And then, you know, in my case, I remember, no, Caleb, you just funnel all of your creative energy into talking trash on the internet and making money that way,
right?
Instead of making products. And I'm like, okay, maybe that's not the best. But speaking of talking trash on the internet, my last prediction is that the Avidity Arms PD-10 still won't be released when I come back.
Also, no bet. and that's all I've got to say about that. And no, that feeling of like looking at your friends doing stuff and going, oh, I get that too. That's, I don't even know where my creative energy is going these days. You know what? We're not going to talk about this because I don't have any alcohol in this room.
Well, speaking of creative energy, one of the things I've spent the last couple of months doing is front-loading my YouTube channel with content. And that's, you know, that's been my big creative output lately. I've largely stepped back from writing. I still write occasionally. You can find stuff that I've written at Recoil or primary and secondary, as well as I do some stuff for Lucky Gunner, more on the tech side. But for my creative output, I really put a lot of that into my YouTube channel, which again, youtube.com/gunnutsmedia. And I front-loaded a lot of content into that because I'm going to be away. And I also understand how the free ice cream machine that is the internet works, in that if you don't keep putting free ice cream into the universe, people forget about you. Mm-hmm. And I don't want necessarily people to forget about me, because one of the things that I will be doing when I come back is I'm going to be starting to offer classes again through the company that I've formed called Miami Gun Training. No, we don't have a website. I own all the URLs, but the website's not stood up yet because I'm actually kind of busy, and building websites takes time and energy. But
if only we were both friends with someone who is apparently getting pretty good at building stuff like that. Right?
Yeah, I know, right?
Right.
The idea behind Miami Gun Training is I want to offer, obviously, open enrollment classes. And then the kind of the big money maker in that, the way to make it sustainable, is in Florida, you have to have, to be an armed security guard, you have to take a course to get your G license, which is what it's called. And that has to be taught by someone who holds a Florida K license, which is a firearms instructor license. So I'll go do that, get that, and use the guard card courses to sort of pay the bills, keep the lights on, because that is a, it's a market that's not really being, there's people who offer the courses, but they're not good at going after it in the terms of creating scale. So they're getting kind of onesie twosies. So I can do that to make the money, but my real passion is to bring back, I used to teach a course that was really about like precision pistol shooting, and I want to bring that back, but add into it a lot of the stuff that I've learned since I used to teach it, and focus it more on defensive shooting. So, you know, I'm going to call it, I don't know, precision defensive handgun or something along those lines. And the idea is to really focus on, it's built around the idea of a 4-inch vital zone and being able to shoot at a cadence where you are not outrunning your ability to assess what's going on at the receiving end of the target.
So I just have to say, if you don't call that that course Food Court Sniper, I'm going to lose all respect for you. Just
Well, so the thing is, the other course that I'm going to offer, and I'm working on an acronym for this one, but the name of the course is, the acronym is DIS, and then and I need something like dynamic integrated shooting or something to fill those letters, because what DIS actually stands for is drill thy stolt. And the whole idea behind Food Court Sniper, which is what I'm calling it now, is Food Court Sniper. It has me as an instructor, and it's me teaching and instructing and bringing lessons from all of the people that I've trained with, blah, blah, blah. Drills I Stole, on the other hand, is more like a 750-round practice session that I'm there administrating. You know what I mean? Like, I'm there, yes, I'll provide feedback and stuff like that, but it's less of a, hey, come learn new stuff with me, and instead it's more of a, here's, you know, 15 different standard assessments that you can shoot, get an idea of where your skill level is, go home and practice them, and they all, you know, look at different skills and stuff like that. So, and because I am, you know, the best instructors are the best thieves, I'm literally just taking, I'm like, all right, well, we're going to take this drill. That's a casino drill. We're going to take, we're going to do build drills. We're going to have the fast drill. We're going to have all of this other stuff. And it's not going to be, you know, even if it's something that someone else uses for a coin or a patch or a belt or a tramp stamp award or whatever, it still can be in here. And, you know, unless somebody copyrights it and gets really upset with me. But the whole point is, I'm not smarter than Ernest Langdon or Tom Givens or any of these guys, right? So why am I going to reinvent the wheel when I can just steal the wheel?
Right. Right. No, and that makes sense. And it's funny, too, because, well, we got to go to break. But you've seen my one-day class. And there's some stuff in that that is theoretically unique to that class, but it's all just modifications of things that already existed. There's nothing like, John has invented this brand new thing. No, that doesn't happen. That's not a thing. But hold that thought, because we got to go to break. Right now we're talking with the food court sniper, Caleb Gennings. Whoa, that doesn't sound good. That sounds, I take that back immediately. I immediately regret that segue into this break. We're talking with Caleb Gennings, who is not a food court sniper. He's a good man. And would never, all right. You know what? Yeah, break now. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by LuckyGunner.com and Federal Premium Ammunition. They paid for this, so you don't have to. I've understood what's going on here, Caleb. It's made sense to me. You know how, like, you get two materials together, and on their own, they might have certain properties, but then you, like, mix the two together and shake them up, and all of a sudden the Mentos is exploding out of the Diet Coke?
Yeah.
That's like my ADD right now. It's like, oh, Caleb's here. Let's turn this up to 11.
If you don't call this episode the train wreck, I don't know. I mean, it's either Diet Coke and Mentos or the train wreck, because it's been all off the rails the whole time.
I won't do what you tell me, but I probably will.
The idea, though, behind Food Court Sniper is...
Hold on. Can I take back calling it that? Because, you know, I'm upon further reflection, it's occurred to me that there might be a negative connotation there and some possible confusion. And you're going to have a dude show up in a balaclava and untied boots, wearing some condor crap. And he's going to go, I thought this is where I learned how to boogaloo. What's up? You know?
Hey, let's talk about that, actually, because that's a really interesting story, especially when you get into the weeds of things and find out that the dude who popped him was an overweight security guard who did him from, like, 20 yards with a single shot from his handgun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the coolest. I mean, there's a lot of... First off, how does one person turn into a living meme to that level? Like, that, this last week, and I don't know when the show's going to air, but this last week...
It'll be a minute.
With the Dallas guy and then the Yeet Cannon has been the best week of memes in the gun industry that I've ever seen.
It's been pretty spicy, a little bit.
But yeah, you know, when I do think about it, the name Food Court Sniper could have a negative turn to it, because ladies and gentlemen of the FBI and the ATF, who are undoubtedly listening to this, we're not talking about shooting good people in the food court. We're talking about when the guy with the ski mask and the vest with no plates in it decides to shoot the food court. We're talking about the ability to accurately return fire in an environment where that may be crowded with no shoots, that where you may not have a, you know, full body torso presentation of the target, which is why the big focus for me draws on the 4-inch circle. And a part of that comes back from the days of when I used to be a serious NRA action pistol competitor. I used to shoot the Yankee Cup every year. And what people don't know about the Yankee Cup is it was originally started as a police handgun shooting program. And I think that I love shooting fast. There are a few things in this world I love more than just ripping bullets out stuff. But the longer I do this, the more that I realize that, yes, you need to be able to shoot fast, because if you can shoot accurate controlled .2 splits, you can shoot 0.35 or 0.5 splits easily. So shooting fast is a very important skill, but for defensive shooting, for law enforcement type shooting, it's also important to be able to shoot at a cadence where you don't outrun your ability to assess what's going on. You know, it's you see things a lot where in cop shootings and civilian shootings where people will just shoot their gun to slide lock as a panic response. Ernest talked about it in his classes where he says, everybody here knows how to shoot fast. You can, everyone can yank the gun out and beat up the trigger and shake all the bullets out of it really quickly. But being able to do that at a pace where you're in control of the gun and you're in control of the assessment process is a really tough skill. And that's kind of what we focus on in precision defensive handgun, is being able to deliver accurate hits to a very small target without outrunning your headlights. And in my perfect, in Caleb's perfect world, I'd be able to, I'd only ever teach this course on places that had turning targets and the target goes away after a par time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you fire shots after it goes away, you, you know, you fail that portion of the assessment. But there's, there are ways to work into that. And one of the other big things that I've taken to build into this course is the training philosophy that they use down within a lot of SoCal law enforcement agencies use this, where they teach a cadence of 0.35, 0.5 splits, because you can't outrun your headlights if you're shooting at that cadence. If I'm shooting a half second split, I can shoot, assess, shoot, assess, and then if suddenly I'm like, oh, it's time to stop shooting this guy because he's fallen down on the ground, then I don't end up shooting someone in the back or, you know, doing things that, while they may be justified, don't look good. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, and I think the other thing too, and this is, I've talked with Kirk about this, and it's one of the reasons why I'm getting a double action only carry GAT built by Ernest, since you brought him up. Once you get to a certain level, it becomes incredibly difficult to miss at a 0.35, you know?
Yeah.
Like if I have a mechanical limiter on my gun, and it's like, oh, you can only shoot 3.5s now. I would bet money that I'm not going to toss too many rounds, you know? And
yeah,
and not that people are going to listen to this and be like, that's stupid. And it's like, no, I'll still run 0.17s, you know, on a Glock or whatever and hit stuff. I'm not saying that you don't want to be able to do that. I'm just saying, forced emotional control isn't necessarily a bad thing. I don't know. I've not fully formed this concept enough to probably be discussing it publicly, but here we are.
Well, and I absolutely agree with that. And, you know, to reiterate something I said earlier, you should be able to shoot controlled, you know, 0.17, 0.2 splits, whatever, because that gives you the ability to shoot a 0.35 or a 0.5 or a 0.4 with absolute control. You know, if I can shoot with my, you know, if I'm shooting a regular 92 and I can shoot a bill drill in 1.98 seconds, run 0.9 or 0.19 splits on it, if I now need to take that same gun and shoot 3 accurate shots to a 4-inch circle at the same distance, with controlled splits where the penalty for missing is extremely high, I know I have the sight of the ability to manipulate the trigger, watch the sight, and do all of that at that pace successfully. So I don't want people to get the idea that I'm like, oh, you shouldn't practice fast shooting. That's stupid. Of course you should practice fast shooting. Shooting fast is cool, but it has to be done, you know, if you're serious about defensive shooting, in a defensive context. And this is important because a lot of people, you know, I don't understand why competition shooters and self-defense shooters are still having this debate, but in a purely defensive context, there's a lot higher consequences for missing than there are at a match. And if you take the skills from a match of like shooting fast splits and fast transitions and apply them to the real world, your ability to shoot a 0.2 split at a target with a target with a hard no shoot on it suddenly becomes useful, because now you can do it at like a 0.4 split and not hit the real world no shoot, you know. So we don't want to, if you don't lose the ability to shoot fast, but you don't want to practice it in a vacuum if your goal for carrying a handgun is primarily defensive.
Well, and that's a great thought to leave on because, hey, look at that. We're at the end of the show. If people want to consume your media, where can they do that?
You can always follow me on Facebook at Caleb Shooting is the URL, but just search for Caleb Giddings and go follow my fan page. Don't send me a friend request because I probably won't accept it. I'm really trying to not do a lot of that. But primarily, the best way to consume my media is youtube.com/gunnutsmedia. We post new videos every month-ish, sometimes two a month. Obviously, the production schedule is going to be a little light for the next 6 or 7 months. But yeah, we've got a lot of content up there, and there's a lot of old content too, so you can watch my evolution as a shooter and instructor.
Dude, I appreciate you coming on the show, man.
Absolutely.
It's always fun. So, and hey, be safe, all right?
I will. Thanks, John. Take care.
Yep. Hey, make sure you check out our website, ballisticradio.com, like our Facebook page at facebook.com/ballisticradio, and keep leaving those 5-star review on iTunes. Really helps us out. What do you think, Joe? Should I try doing the Bob Barker strange plant? And recall, do not inadvertently neglect to have your domesticated mammalians rendered sterile. I need the voice. That's what, it makes it better if I do it in the voice. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, be safe. See you next week.